Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to the Wine With Me podcasts. And today we've decided we're going to give you a vocabulary lesson because there's so many words they use in the wine world. All the wine snobs try to make us all feel stupid and they have their own language and we are sick of it. So I called in two of the coolest, smartest, funniest, non-snotty guys I know, Mike DeSimone and Jeff Jensen, the wine world guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Tracy.
But you guys, the beauty of you guys, I think, is that you are so not wine snob world guys.
You know, we really try to bring it down to the people. Wine is something that we all enjoy. We all eat food. We all drink wine. There's no reason I should act like your professor when we talk about
it. Hey, I love that. Thank you. Because people do, because they use these words. And so we're just going to dive right in and start getting to them. First of all, the one that I hear all the time is big. It's a big wine.
Yeah, big, big wines are those, you think big Napa Cabs, like big Bordeaux's.
What's big about it?
Big, those are wines that you want a big juicy steak to go with. These are wines that have a lot of tannins and they have a lot of body, a lot of structure.
They could usually have a big price tag, too.
They have a big price tag.
Big price tag on those babies.
No, but these are the wines that you want, with a piece of steak. If you drink this wine, your gums are going to feel kind of dried out for a little bit. So you want, a big, juicy steak. That's what I call a big wine. I'm thinking big wines from Chile, from Argentina.
So they're
from
red,
California.
First of all.
Always
big
red.
Wines are red. I can't think of anyone describing a white wine as a big wine.
If they do, they're making it up.
All right, so along with big comes fat.
Yeah, fat would kind of be going along the same terms.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. Fat just meaning tannic, mouth filling. When we talk about mouth feel and we talk about a wine that doesn't just go straight over the tongue and down the throat, but really, really works its way across your taste buds, around your mouth, into your gums, and you don't just taste it, you feel that baby.
Yeah, so it's sitting on your tongue.
Exactly.
Totally.
Then it's alcohol too, right? That's what we're talking about too?
Yeah.
Those big fat wines generally have a lot of alcohol? Higher alcohol,
there's another word called hot. So
hot.
When we talk about wines that have a lot of alcohol, they feel hot in our mouth.
They smell hot.
Because you can smell them and you smell the alcohol vaporizing. So that it could actually, some of them are so strong, 16% or so, that they could actually burn, the nose hairs.
Yeah,
I
get that. I get that. One of the things we did here was we doctored a Pinot Grigio with a little vodka to get that hot sense. Right?
And sounds like a new cocktail.
Did you name that?
Is that the Tracy Burns?
Yeah.
It was all I had left at home, and the kids were driving me crazy. What was I going to do? I don't know.
Mommy juice. Mommy juice, right?
All right, so here's another one I hear all the time. It's chewy. No, it's not. It's liquid.
Chewy really has to do with the tannins, and when chewy tannins in a fine wine and a high quality wine can be a good thing, and that means a chewy wine is probably one that is not quite ready for you to drink yet.
Oh.
So maybe a 2009 Napa Cab that the tannins haven't really dropped out of it yet, so it's all sitting on your gums.
Okay, it's just staying.
Right.
Yeah, and I like to use a word called grippy too. When you drink that wine, it kind of grips to your gums and your teeth before it goes down the back of your throat. So chewy, grippy.
That's bad.
It's that the tannins are not well integrated. Wine, needs a little bit of time. So when you drink a wine that's way too young, you're going to get some grippy, some chewy, feelings in your mouth. So you want to let that wine just mellow out. And we hope over a couple of years, a good wine, it's going to mellow out and just be more integrated.
It's the worst. It requires so much darn patience. To go buy a bottle of even 2009 and say, yeah, it needs time. Yeah.
Well, the problem is most people buy wine, on their way home from work.
Right.
The husband or wife, whoever's cooking that night, will call and say, honey, can you bring home a bottle of something to go along with a pot roast? And then you bring home a bottle of wine, and it's basically most wine is consumed within 2 hours of being purchased at a liquor store.
There are days where I'm drinking on the ride home. Holy
with
Toledo.
Those sippy cups, right?
Now. I hope you're in the back of the car.
But, yes, of course. Yes. But at the same time, But you're saying those wines are going to end up being chewy.
Right. Sometimes.
But that's where we talk about, and there's that other word that people always talk about, balance.
Ah.
So what you need, so a lot of times, you know, when we rate wines professionally, as we do for Wine Enthusiast, you have, and we sit there and we have this little sheet and we jot down little notes. You've got this wine and it's chewy and you're sitting there and you kind of like relax and wait to see what happens in your mouth. And then you realize that that chewiness gets rescued by a bright splash of acidity at the end of the taste, at the end of that sip. And I'm not talking about like, you know, like hot burning acid. I'm talking about something after all these like
pleasant,
deep berry flavors, this like little burst of like lemon peel
that's
or something
so
at
like,
the end. And that's what
and
makes
that's
balanced. That's a balanced wine. Exactly.
But that's also probably an older wine.
Yeah, but you know, there are some wines that you can buy, you know, and wine, you know, the idea of putting a wine down, you know, when you buy a really good wine, an inexpensive wine, you want to hold it for a little while.
I know.
The problem is that we don't do that.
No.
And we drink, you know, wines that are really before their time. If you remember that old Gallo commercial.
They actually say that the British drink their wines too late and Americans drink their wines too soon. The Brits,
are they like right in the middle?
The Brits lay there. The Brits, because they have wine cellars.
Oh, they're so fancy.
They have history.
I got nothing.
And country manners. All that stuff.
What? They forgot to put a wine cellar in my New York City apartment.
Seriously. And I'm sorry. That would be where my kids' cleats go. I don't have a wine cellar.
Sure.
All right. This one I hear all the time, too. Closed.
Closed. That's a good word. You know, closed kind of means a wine's just not ready to drink right now. You know, the French can get into this word for like, you know, hours and hours of discussion. But when wines are first made, sometimes when they're transferred to the bottle, they get something we call bottle shock. They kind of close down. You don't really get the fruity flavors. You don't really get the balanced tannic acids. You know, you get a lot of – it just kind of feels disjointed.
Because why say that again? Because there was that great movie, Bottle Shock.
Sure.
Which everyone should watch.
Right. And no, but when
– But it came to the bottle too soon? Is that what you're saying?
No.
It came to the bottle too soon, but it's been bottled and it actually just needs to sit and rest before it goes from bottle to glass. It was in a tank. It was in a barrel. It's been filtered and processed and put into a bottle. So you just want to let everything resettle.
See, again, with this patience thing.
You need patience.
There's, you get bottle shock.
Well, don't forget, wine is a living, breathing organism. So it really, you know, think about it. Like when we're all flustered and all freaked out, you know, we don't want to be with anybody. We don't want anybody to even come near us.
Right.
Wine is kind of the same way. So bottle shock is when you transfer the wine from a barrel or stainless steel into the bottle. So that can happen when the wine is just bottled. But that doesn't necessarily mean that bottle shock is any time you shake up a bottle of wine.
No. It's too much. It's like when I come home and you talk to me too quickly.
Exactly.
I go into shock, quite frankly.
Or in the morning before you've had your coffee.
Or there's that. Okay. Yeah. So I totally get that. Bottle shock. That's a good word. Okay. So I also like this earthy thing. Earthy, I hear all the time.
You know, earthy refers to these like really nice savory characteristics in a wine. So you're talking about your truffle, your mushrooms.
Yeah, the mushrooms.
Yeah, the mushrooms.
Forest floor.
Yeah.
What?
Pine needles.
You're tasting forest floor?
Well, it's used we said there's a lot of snobs in the world of wine, and I've read a lot of tasting notes that talk about forest floor. So I've never actually gotten down on my hands and knees and
licked
the forest floor. But I guess if we did, it would be earthy, mushroomy. God, you know, it's just these like wet leaves.
How did
it get like this?
Like, how did it get to a point where we're describing things like forest floor?
Well, I think honestly, it's like, you know, it's one of those things like when you try to describe a color, it's like try to describe the sky without using the word blue. And if we just described wine
aqua
as what it tastes like, we would say it tastes like a grape. And so we have to like take these words, and when you taste wine, you take it in your mouth and you hold it. You do ponder it a little bit and think about, what is it? What am I tasting in there? So you've got those fruit notes, which in a red wine are going to be, you know, blackberries and cherries and raspberries and plums and that kind of thing. And then you go to the secondary characteristics, a lot of which are a result either of the oak barrel or the mild oxidation that's taken place through the core.
And that's like really all the back to the training your mouth to even get these. Right. The two-step process is way... That's like medical degree wine to me.
Do you know one of the things that I actually recommend that people do is to try to drink, if you're learning about wine, drink single varieties instead of blends. Because if you drink a single, if you drink a Pinot Noir or a Syrah or a Cabernet Sauvignon, you have a better idea of what you like in that, as opposed to if you drink a blend, you don't really know what it is about that blend.
That's actually
that's,
a really
that's
great
That's exciting
tip.
Your palate.
So you say blend, and actually I think jammy is used with blends often. What? So because it's what? Like jam?
Sure. I mean, and you know, jammy can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I like to use the word jammy if I'm writing a note. Sometimes I'll use that when I feel like the fruit is a little too cooked. You know how you take like grapes and you cook them, you make grape jelly? It's like a confiture. The French like to use that word.
That is so fancy.
Yeah, that's fancy.
A
confiture.
I didn't even know that's how you made jelly. You cook the grapes.
You cook the grapes. You add some sugar.
Fruit and sugar.
That's
and
then you get so your little own, house in the prairie.
Yeah, right. And then you get your old ball jars and you sterilize them. Yeah, you know, I can just see you doing this
it's
on
not
the Saturday.
Welch's. No one's using Welch's anywhere.
But jammy can mean, you know, it tastes like jam, like you know,
like
grape
Welch's.
Jam. And that's not necessarily a good thing. If you're somebody who loves really, really fruity wines that don't have a lot of balance, don't have a lot of tannins, jammy can be good for you. I mean,
would you call Pinot Noir jammy?
Probably. If it's made well, no.
Yeah.
But there are some Pinot Noirs that come from hotter climates, and they're it tastes like the fruit got a little too cooked. So you get that cooked taste into your wine. I prefer a Pinot Noir that's fresh and bright.
So jammy's not good?
Not necessarily.
So far, like jammy, chewy. What else did we say wasn't good?
Saying jammy's not good, but I think if you read wine notes, sometimes people describe a wine as jammy, that along with six or seven other words, you might say like, oh, he called that jammy, but that sounds like a good wine.
Exactly.
So
that's why it's
you
confusing.
You have to take it in context.
Well, you know what? I mean, for everyone who's listening, you know, to this podcast, there's really no right or wrong. You know, if you like a jammy wine and that's really what you enjoy, drink a jammy wine.
Here's why I wanted to do this with this vocabulary word thing, because like we did one on restaurant wine etiquette. And when you go to a restaurant, a sommelier is going to ask you, what do you like? And I don't think people really know what the heck they like.
Right.
They know what they had last night was really good.
Right.
But if I had to describe what I had last night, I don't know. It's red, so maybe I would say jammy,
well,
but then that would be wrong.
That's why we're using these words today. So
right,
we have
so that's
more
what I'm
words.
Saying. So
yeah.
we're expanding our wine vocabulary. Although I do think that it should go the other way, too. The psalm should take it down a notch.
Absolutely. It's like when you go to your doctor and you know, he's telling you you've got some kind of terminal disease. You don't want to know the medical words. You just want to know how long you have to live. So, you know, I think sommeliers should really kind of consider when they're talking to people, don't give them the big, you know, scientific explanation.
Ask them what they're having for dinner and how much they want to spend.
Exactly.
Or that's how about it. Like we make a rule? I think there should be a rule. Like no one can use the word, you know, jammy, fat, or earthy ever again.
I can't throw earthy out.
You can't.
I like earthy.
But
you know what?
I think it's a good description.
But can you throw forest floor out?
Yeah, we can throw that
out. Okay, good.
Okay. We can, if you want to lick some wet leaves. You know, we teach a class, and when we teach, we always have what we call the geek jar. And if people use words like malolactic fermentation in our class, we're like, that's a geek word. Put a dollar in the jar. Because we really want people, you know, malolactic. Okay, let me just go into that for a second. It just means mallow and lactic. It's a chemical reaction, lactic being milky. So there's like a so – there's
it actually
compounds.
Turns the malic acid to lactic acid.
Right. So
which
there are compounds
type of
that are
acid.
Similar in milk. So when you drink those beautiful Chardonnays that have been oaked, they taste creamy almost.
Because of this mallow something fermentation.
Exactly.
So when someone says mallow – because the first I saw the word, I thought it was mahalo. And I'm like, That's Hawaii.
That's Hawaii, yeah.
Okay. So it's mallow. If someone says mallow, that's what they're talking about?
Yeah. But you're even cooler if you don't say the whole word. You just abbreviate it and say mallow.
But I think that's a
$2 geek word.
If someone described a Chardonnay to you as having really good mouthfeel and being creamy, you'd say, depending on your taste, oh, I really want that, or no, I like something that's, you know, more, that's more a stainless steel
so
style
I
and
like
fresher.
That creamy creamy, buttery.
Me too.
Okay, so you're saying I like the mallow
you
part.
You love mallow.
I'm going to go next time I go to a restaurant, I'm just going to say mallow.
You don't even know
mahalo
how much you love it.
And mallow.
There you go.
You love mallow and you don't even know it. See?
I didn't, see? I
exactly.
Learned. Now I know what to say when they ask me.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard grip too.
Grip, I mean, that's what Jeff was talking about, those grippy tannins.
Yeah.
So that's like those chewy tannins, grippy tannins. That's just when the tannins dry out your gums to the point that you
so
really,
grip,
really feel that.
So grip, chewy, we got all those. And there was another one that you said was bad. What's bad? Oh, jammy might be bad.
Could be bad.
I'm trying to make a good
but you know
bad
what the,
list here.
But grip and chewy, again, you know, it depends on the listener. You know, if they like a big wine that, like, is a powerhouse. Remember we used the word big before, powerhouse. If they like a wine that goes with a nice, juicy porterhouse steak, you want a grippy wine or you want a chewy, tannic wine.
And maybe even a jammy wine.
And maybe even jammy. Exactly.
Now you're totally confusing.
Now we're
me.
Talking Argentine Malbecs.
Exactly.
I mean, so, you know,
exactly.
So there's a lot of wines that, you know, some people like and other people don't like.
So creamy, kind of along the lines of what we're talking about, this mallow. Mallow,
right.
Creamy, kind of interchangeable. Decadent. Could be anything.
Oh, decadent. That could just be, wow.
Just
that
makes
really
me happy.
Rocks my boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Decadent is just a wine. You know what? Decadent, I think, is something that really, like, it just hits all your senses.
But, like, it
you
really
know?
Could be a bubbly rosé.
Sure.
Yeah.
If it's hot and summery.
If you like
and,
that.
Right.
Right.
I'd love me a bubbly rosé in the summer.
Right.
Who doesn't? On the back of your yacht, sailing off the coast
exactly.
of Saint-Tropez. Exactly.
Now that's decadent.
Speaking of summery wines, you guys wrote this fabulous book on California wines. It's an encyclopedia. It's huge.
It's about 600 pages.
Okay. It's on Amazon. Go get it. But
called,
why? Oh, give us the title.
It is called Wines of California.
Easy.
Imagine
Easy. Wines of California. Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local independent bookseller, wherever you buy your books.
But now creamy Chardonnays come out of Cali.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
What other words would you use to describe the wines that come out of California?
There are so many of them because when we look at California, I mean, we don't have to look at the fact that there's 116 different distinct wine-growing regions in the state.
Those are
they
called
grow
AVAs.
Every possible grape there from Albarino to Zinfandel.
116?
Yeah.
Yeah, 116 growing areas called AVAs.
AVAs, American Viticultural Areas.
Oh, that's another wine word that we should put on our list, AVAs.
AVAs.
But that's just in the U.S. Then different countries have different...
The French have their own words.
So they basically... Do they?
Of course. They do.
Are they the same words in French?
No, the Italians. Everyone
AOC,
has a
DOC.
DOC.
That
oh,
refers
but like
to
these,
a wine
do these are these words now international that we talked about? Jammy,
sure,
woody.
Sure.
People use this to describe wine all over the world.
Well, instead of forest floor, I think I'd say like you know, le pied de bois, or maybe maybe instead of jammy, I say confiture. You know, so we can do the words in French.
You know what's fabulous or not fabulous? The French language all of a sudden sounds like I'm just never going to understand what you're saying.
Totally, and it always sounds sexy, no
they
matter what
they
say.
That way, actually.
They do.
They don't
think,
want us to have any idea what they're talking about.
All right, hedonistic, same thing. It's blown me over the top.
Yeah.
How about lean?
Lean, that's a wine that's kind of got not a lot of body to it. So it's kind of watery. It's kind of like nondescript.
So really, like some Pinot Grigios?
Some Pinot Grigios, yeah,
but
there
I
are.
But again, I don't think that lean, I think it's all contextual. I don't think lean is necessarily a bad thing because there's, I mean, you could have like a really, like a lean kind of austere Pinot Grigio is great with oysters. You don't want too much in the glass.
I agree with you.
Right.
Or Sauvignon Blanc,
exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. Something that's lean. There's not, you know, it's fermented in stainless steel.
And it depends.
You can really taste the fruit. It's not overly complicated. That's not a bad thing in certain cases.
And it depends on what you like. I mean, think about women. There's like, you know, lean women and there's voluptuous women.
Ah, that's what we like to call our Italian selves.
Exactly.
Voluptuous.
And voluptuous. And that's, you know, they're both good because those women are both beautiful. So you can have a lean wine. You could have a voluptuous wine. Depending on what you want.
I like that.
It's all beauties in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, very nice, Jeff. Okay, I got one more before I let you guys go. Barnyard.
Barnyard. Well, that's never good.
Okay.
Well, I mean, although
some
people...
I can't imagine why it would be.
It's usually used to describe something called Brettanomyces, or Brett for short.
That should be so another word you put.
Word,
yeah, yeah,
totally.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a $5 word.
Right. So there are some countries in the world that make wine using a Brett style, we call it. I mean, and some Rioja can do that.
What's
some
a Brett the, style?
Brett is... Brettanomyces is... mycosis is a it's like a mold or...
that grows in wineries.
That grows in wineries, and it gives a very distinct... The word barnyard is a really nice way to say that it smells like the horse...
Crap.
Yeah.
I'll poop. Say it.
Exactly.
Poop. Ew.
The horse pooped in his stable, and then you're smelling like the smell between the wet hay, because he might have peed on it, too.
Oh, this is getting better by the second.
So it's pretty gross, but... There are wines that are made with this Brett style that are amazing, but you bring that up to your nose. And that's, you know, talking about misconceptions, Brett is not necessarily a bad thing. Some wineries go for that style. Some wineries try to make wines like that, and some people want it and pay for it. Other people sniff it and they say, this wine is bad. So it's not necessarily corked. But it could be
bad. Oh, see,
but
now that makes it confusing.
It does. It does.
Because
and that's
I would think if it smells like
poop.
Crap,
yeah.
And pee and hay.
I don't like it.
That can't be good.
Corked, which is actually a bacteria that
right.
lives on corks, you know, which is when we say
right.
wine is corked. That's more of like a moldy smell.
Yeah.
You can. I actually when you put a corked wine to my nose, I actually sneeze. First thing,
yeah.
my nose starts twitching and I sneeze from that thing.
So
Mike's our corked meter for
yeah,
sure.
I'm
definitely.
The human corkometer.
Definitely. But no, Barnyard's, for some people it's good, for some people it's bad.
Okay.
I personally don't like
I'm gonna
Barnyard.
Go. I'm going to put it on the bad list.
I'm a city dweller. No
yeah.
Barnyard for me.
I'm going to stick with decadent and put Barnyard on the bad list.
Yeah.
All right. You guys have been amazing. Before we go, we have to tell the entire world how to find you all. So, it's pretty easy, right? It's worldwineguys.com.
.com.
At on Twitter.
We are on World Wine Guys on Twitter, World Wine Guys on Facebook, World Wine Guys on Instagram, and yes, even on Pinterest.
You go. And the book is on Amazon. You have got to go check it out because it's everything you need to know about California wines. And that just means there's going to have to be a sequel, right? Because things change.
Totally. We're all actually talking to our publisher about doing a sequel already.
Oh, you guys are the best. All right. And also, you can get me at Tracy Burns and, of course, tracy.burns@foxbusiness.com. Thank you so much for listening. I think, actually, maybe we should have a test.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Okay, absolutely.
Everyone who's listening, there's a test.
Totally.
And then, of course, everyone has a glass of wine.
But we should also have a toast.
And a toast.
So let's get these glasses up here.
Gentani.